Talks Sessions, the TTS, where we talk a topic for the week for the audience members to keep. We talk about different ideas, different topics, different things that come up in life. And one of them that are interesting to think about, one of them that came up especially in undergrad for me, was the idea of this hindsight bias. We tend to think that when we're in a situation, when we look back, I definitely would have acted a certain way and I would have done X, Y, and Z. But when we're thinking about it in the past, it's different than when it happens to us in the present, and it's different than we're thinking ahead when we're planning ahead. And that's the idea of the hindsight bias versus the idea of foresight. How often do you feel like you could have predicted something? How often do you look back and think, yeah, I knew that would happen? How often do you read a book predicting what would happen, or a TV show or a movie thinking how it will end, saying to yourself, I knew it from the start? This is what is called in psychology hindsight bias. They say that hindsight is 20/20, but is that really so? This is a principle, again, that I learned in undergrad in a psych course, in my psych courses as a psych major, that I found fascinating. Wikipedia explains, hindsight bias, also known as the knew-it-all-along phenomenon, or creeping determinism, is the common tendency for people to perceive past events as having been more predictable than they actually were. People often believe that after an event has occurred, they would have predicted or perhaps even would have known with a high degree of certainty what the outcome of the event would have been before the event occurred. Hindsight bias may cause distortions of memories of what was known or believed before an event occurred, and is a significant source of overconfidence regarding an individual's ability to predict the outcomes of future events. Examples of hindsight bias can be seen in the writings of historians describing the outcomes of battles, physicians recalling clinical trials, and in judicial systems as individuals attribute responsibility on the basis of the supposed predictability of accidents. Fairwell Mind explains, after an event, people often believe they knew the outcome of the event before it actually happened. This is why it is often referred to as the I knew it all along phenomenon. The hindsight bias involves the tendency people have to assume that they knew the outcome of an event after the outcome has already been determined. So hindsight bias is a belief that we could have predicted something, but too often, unfortunately, way too often, we look back wishing and regretting and having the rose-colored glasses, the 2020 vision in the past, looking to the past. If only we had the ability to think ahead or look ahead or foresee the things for the future, how better things would be if we would just plan things out and prepare for the future. This is the idea, the power of foresight versus the sad looking back of what is seen as hindsight. The Gemara points out in Talmud on Lamed Aleph, Amr lehem Eden mitikre chakim, Amr le ezahu chacham haroa es hanolad. Alexander the Great asked the Jewish sages of the south, who is called a wise man? They responded to him, the person who sees the consequence of their action. The Mefarsh explains, Haroa es hanolad hameven milibo masha asid lihios korosha asidim lavon. A person should think in his heart what might happen in the future and to be careful and prepare for it, as opposed to or in partnership with the idea in Pirkei Avos that teaches us Ezehu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam. In 4:1, Ben Zama asks, who is wise? He who learns from every man. It might be that the two ways of what a wise person is called from the Gemara versus the Pirkei Avos are actually linked and intertwined. If you learn from everyone, you learn how to foresee the future or consequences of your actions before you do something, especially detrimental. If you learn from the failures and mistakes of those around you, as well as the things that work for those around you, you really could foresee what could work in the future. Think twice before you speak, and think three times before you act. Hence, a very Jewish trait is that of foresight, as the Gemara above explains. A really smart person thinks ahead of what he may need or what might happen. Hindsight, on the other hand, is not always so helpful unless we use it to learn from our past mistakes or use it to help us better serve Hashem and do good for the world and those around us. Aish points out from the author Nissan Yoel Safran, foresight is the ability to look ahead and make wise decisions that will affect your future. In the Torah portion that focuses on Yosef, Our ancestor Yosef uses his foresight to help Paro and the Egyptians store up enough food to survive a great famine. We can use our foresight as a tool to save ourselves from a lot of problems. When I think of foresight, among many other examples, I think of the great Rabbi Meir Shapiro, founder of the Daf Yomi movement, which has celebrated many, many cycles, thank God, in its 13th or 14th cycle now. For me personally, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing that he invented. Wikipedia even explains Yehuda Meir Shapiro, who was born in 1887 and passed away in 1933, was a prominent Polish Hasidic rabbi and Rosh Yeshiva, also known as the Lubna Rav. He is noted for his promotion of the Daf Yomi study program in 1923 and established the Chachmei Lublin Yeshiva in 1930. During the years 1922 to 1927, Rabbi Shapiro was the first Orthodox Jew to become a member in the Sejm Parliament of the Second Polish Republic, representing the Jewish minority of the country. Rabbi Shapiro introduced the revolutionary idea of Daf Yomi, the page of the day or the daily folio, a daily regimen undertaken to study the Babylonian Talmud, one folio, a daf consists of both sides of the page each day. Under this regimen, the entire Talmud is completed one day at a time, in a cycle of 7.5 years. Rabbi Shapiro introduced this idea, his idea at the First World Congress of the World Agudath Israel in Vienna on August 16, 1923. The first cycle of Daf Yomi commenced on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, September 11, 1923. Now it is in its 14th cycle. Daf Yomi has been taken up by tens of thousands of Jews worldwide. What unbelievable foresight to think of a movement that could accomplish so much learning for so many people in such a simple concept. To finish the whole Talmud Bavli, one page, one folio, one daf at a time, in less than 8 years. Amazing. I think it's a brilliant idea, a brilliant concept for Rabbi Shapiro to have a revolutionary concept like that. And again, when you think of concepts and you think of ideas, Lahavdil, it doesn't have to be something as revolutionary as Rabbi Shapiro's. It could be something much simpler. It could be something much more scaled down. It could be something much more reachable for many, many different people. Personally, I've told you over the years, I've had many different concepts, many different ideas. I've always loved playing guitar, and I've made music thanks to Hashem, many songs over the years. I want to make a podcast into that. I'm working on the Tani Talks music. We're trying to get it live. I've had this idea for podcasting for years. The Tani Talk sessions was morphed a few times over. Tani Talk Daf has morphed a few times over, now into the minute lesson a day on the Daf. Tani Talks OT has morphed many times over the years, and now it's the Therapy Minute coming up for Season 8, God willing. Tani Talks Perkei Avos also started out in the general concept of the Mishnah Day, but we use different commentaries currently. We knocked it down to once a week using the current Mephorish. We took a hiatus, obviously, for the summer. And then each aspect, each show, whether it be the OT or whether it be the Perkei Avos or the Daf or Parsha, which we also do, that also was knocked down and morphed from a major, major concept, and we made it to much more adjustable bites, audio bites, 5 to 10 minutes. These are all ideas, different, not revolutionary, but different small ideas that Hashem put on my mind that I wanted to give to the world. We need to have the foresight to think, what can we contribute to the world? What can change the world on a tiny level? And Find Fivel, for me, was a revolutionary concept, tiny, tiny way. The Jewish version of Where's Waldo, I call it, a much simpler way of figuring it out. We have the picture on the page. Each picture has a theme. We have the family defined in book one. They're a family of six. Book two, God willing, it's a family of seven. And there's different mitzvah items to find in book one. There's six items in book two. There's seven items or so. And it's an idea to find, and it's an idea to work with. It's something to do. It's something to contribute. You know, these are all different ideas. You could be a professor. You could use your talents to teach a course, which is something Hashem allowed me to do. You can do what you can in this world to bring stuff to the fruition. In the day camp now, I am infusing in the summer. We have a couple of weeks left here in the end of July 2024 at this moment. But I'm infusing the concept of the topic of the week. The whole concept is the Jewish people. Each week is a different theme, and all my activities relate to the theme. And instead of teaching and lecturing to kids, which is never working, in my opinion, it's never the way to go about it, I do experiential hands-on learning. So every day is another two activities. I try to do two activities with the kids a day. The periods are 35 minutes per bunk. And we try to be hands-on learning to do the thing. And that I want to bring to the school year. And I'm hoping to do a club for my kids' school once a week so that I could continue that. These are not revolutionary. These are not mind-boggling ideas. Lahavda, lahavda, like Rabbi Shapiro. But we can have the foresight to think, what can we contribute to the world? What can we give to the world? What can we do for the world? What can we spin a little bit to give our flair, to give our ideas, to give our concepts to the world? We do a weekly podcast for the day, Kim, interviewing some kids, two questions or so that can relate to them, interviewing some staff members for a couple of minutes, using guitar. I've done kumzits with the teens of the neighborhood, and also in the summer with the kids from the staff. We have to do what we can to contribute. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just giving personal, very personal examples of things I've tried to do from my Dalet Amos in my life, trying to contribute. We can each bring something to the world. It could be something as tremendous and huge as Rabbi Shapiro's thing, or it could be something tiny like giving a minute podcast. Meaningful Minute, by the way, was revolutionary. It's a brilliant idea to have 1 minute inspiration. Obviously, they have podcasts that are much longer and sound bites that are much longer, but the overall idea, they try to get content in a minute. And I believe that that formula is very good. And I actually use that formula to try to reach people. The Daf Minute, the Therapy Minute, I'm thinking in the past few years to morph it over, because people want their sound bites, their audio bites, and very succinct, very quick information. People don't have attention spans. People can't sit and listen for hours and hours on end. There are podcasts that are 30 minutes, there are 50 minutes, there are 15 minutes, but I believe people can't listen for that long. But there are some podcasters like Ben Shapiro, who has millions of followers, but even if he's speaking for long times, it's very entertaining and it's rapid-fire speech. He speaks very, very quickly. I cannot speak that quickly. And there are ways to contribute things to the world. Different WhatsApp groups come about with great ideas, and people have concepts that are great ideas, and they bring it to the fruition, and it's wonderful to see. Aish has great stuff, and Chabad has great stuff, OU has great stuff. I believe the OU Torah emails was also a brilliant, small revolutionary idea, bringing Torah, bite-sized Torah every day, very quick emails, but you learn something every day, you cover your itim, start your day. Reading those emails, I actually really like getting those emails. There are different things we can do to bring it to the world. You could be as grandiose vision as Rabbi Shapiro, making it the Daf idea, and then there could be smaller ideas, but wonderful things as well. You could also think of the Art School movement, as well as Feldheim and other Jewish publishers who saw the need and the yearning for spiritual Jewish books with core values. Even with Jewish novels in different genres, thinking about the idea how to bring Judaism for the masses to reach many people. I even think of Jewish music labels who brought about a massive surge in bringing Jewish music to the people as well. Podcasting, Jewish podcasts. Yidflix, the Jewish idea of Netflix. There's now a Yidpad where there's all Jewish content on an iPad, which I think is great. There's also 24/6, which I love the idea. There's all Jewish content on a device. These are different ideas. These are great things to figure out what to do to be able to go about it. When we think about how we go to the future, we think about what we can do, we need to think about how to go on a everyday basis on a simple aspect to contribute, to think about the future. When we move about things, you plan ahead, you can have the foresight. Think about, even with your family, how we think towards the future, how we think about foreseeing the consequences of the future, especially actions with kids. You think about how to go about each day. When we plan ahead, thinking of what we need or might not need will be something we could think about. When my wife and I took our kids over the years on family trips, not a vacation, a relocation, we call it a family trip, not a vacation, we try to think of the things that our kids may need: bedding, clothing, foods, pots, pans. It's better to have more than less. It's better to be over-prepared than under-prepared. We can also compare and contrast. You can remember how things worked and how they didn't. On one trip, we did not have a washer-dryer. That was very difficult. I wasn't going to do that again. When you have little kids, Baruch Hashem, it's very difficult to anticipate how much clothing you're going to need to go a whole week. We went for a week at that time back in the day without a washer-dryer. That's not good. In hindsight, that was a crazy decision. The next year, with foresight, we made sure to rent a unit that definitely had a washer dryer. We packed half as much. We were able to do laundry a few times. So to account for those different things, we need to do what we can to think ahead. We need to do what we can to remember. Think about the future. Think about how to go about things. Think about how to plan out your days, how to plan out your life. It is not possible to always remember everything, but we can do what we can to try to account for aspects of our life, how to look forward, how to think about what we can do to be involved in the right aspects. A little bit of foresight of planning really can go a long way. What do you want? What do you need? How can you plan accordingly? It could really save your day. It could really make your day. You think about Rachel and Leah. When Rachel had the ability to not embarrass her sister Leah. You think about Rivka, who tricked her husband to get the rightful blessings for Yaakov, knowing what needed to be done. You think about Yosef and Mitzrayim, paving the way for the Jews and saving the whole world for hunger. Think about Yaakov not wanting to be married to Mitzrayim, so to be brought to Israel so as not to be venerated as an idol in Egypt, to be buried in the Holy Land. Moshe being buried by Hashem, secretly not to be made into a shrine. Think of the Jewish kings, and think especially at the end of the Temple era, hiding the Aron and other items not to fall into the wrong hands. You think about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he figured out a way, he pretended to be dead, and he met with the general who then became emperor, thinking about how to save the Jewish people, how to save the Torah in his own time. We think about how to move forward. We think about how to be involved. We think about what to do in this life. Without foresight, it is as if you are shooting in the dark, oblivious to everything around you, without the guiding light to see the circumstances, the situations, and the results. We need to have the proper hindsight, but we also need to have the proper foresight. The proper hindsight allows us to understand what we're looking at in the past. We have to take proper precautions for the future, and we need to have proper safety methods to ensure the proper protection of ourselves and all of those around us. Think ahead. What can be planned out? Who can be reached out to? What can be mapped out in life? What could be mapped out in different situations? What could be mapped out in different circumstances? Foresight is not only a practical and smart tool, it is a protection for the future as well. A person who can envision obstacles to success, especially in success against Yetzirah and wants and things to that nature, will be able to map out different circumstances that can cause one to fall in sin or to avoid damage or hurt on problems. We should look back to see what worked in our life or what didn't work. Look back to see what was problematic or what was helpful. And we could look to see where the Yad Hashem is, where Hashem's hand is everywhere. But especially to see in our life where it was obvious to be helped for by Hashem. Preparing for things, properly planning for things, implementing things for the future is the way to go. Without the foresight, it's like you're shooting in the dark, oblivious to everything around you, without the guiding light to see the circumstances, to see the situations, and to see the results. You ever hear of the hindsight bias? Science has talked about the idea. I knew that would happen. I knew it from the start. Hindsight is 20/20. But is that really so for you? If you can plan your life a little bit, a step at a time, all the way back from when we're in high school, thinking about what appeals to us, what drives us, what would we be good at, what would we like to do, how would we like to contribute, what would be something we'd be good. I was in HASC for 3 years in the summer, and I had my calling for what I want to do as my real job, not my side hobbies, but my real job, working with kids in a fun way, on skills and getting paid for it, almost in a game manner, playing games. Those are the best things. Those are the most fun things. And I took that experience back from the therapy building back in the day when I brought my camper for his sessions and applied it to myself, working with kids, letting them play games, letting them play items, working on their fine motor, working on their sensory abilities, working on their ability to cut and to draw and to color and to paste and to build those muscles in the hands. I love doing that in the different sessions with the kids, with the campers now in camp. I love to be able to have each time making different things from swords and shields to bridges out of cups and tape and everything in between. I love doing that kind of stuff, and I hope to continue it during the year for the clubs once a week, which is the plan and the hope and the dream. But we want to do what we can to contribute, whether it's a podcast or an article, whether it's a book or your music, whether it's speaking to people, whether it's connecting with people, whatever you can do to take your abilities to make the world a better place. Whatever you can do to think about the consequences and the outcomes of events, of actions, of behaviors. Are you looking backwards to see what didn't work, or thinking about the future to plan in the future what will work, what will help, what you can do to be an even better person? Don't just think about hindsight that it's 2020. Think about how foresight can literally contribute, can literally help, can make the world a better place, the world a brighter place, the world a more peaceful place, a more loving place, every single day in many various ways. This has been Tani Talk Sessions, the TTS, where we talk a topic for the week for the audience members to keep. And I'm your host, Tani. Join us next time here on the Tani Talks Sessions.